This is one of those go-to verses talking about Father's Day, talking about men. And I think it's such a great, great verse because it does bring us to a decision. Now, you can be a father or you got to choose to be a godly father. You know, it's a choice. It's a sacrifice. And Joshua is around 110 years old at this time, so he's no young guy. He's not an apprentice. He's not someone just learning his way. He's been around for a while. He has seen God use him. He has went through the process of God molding him over the years of his life. And we're getting towards the end of his life. He's gathered around all these other men, all these other leaders, and he's saying, listen, here's the deal. I want you to understand what I know about God and about his will and his work. And so he gathers them around. He said, I want to express to you everything that I've learned. And just like a good father does to his kids, Joshua is doing this to those that were coming after him to say, listen, here's what you need to do. Here's the way to be a godly father. Here's the way to lead your family, your people, your things to the Lord and to have them keep God's will in their life. It's important because, you know, a good father or a godly father is one of the greatest influences in people's life. And it's probably the most unsung or unpraised or unappreciated people in all of humanity. Because what's happened in our society is we've devalued the greatness of a good father. It started several years ago when I was growing up. I remember watching certain shows, and I think back now, I remember not one single show had a portrait of a good, godly father. They were all like, you know, bumbling idiots, you know? Starting like, okay, you remember Married with Children? Remember Al Bundy? Remember how he acted, right? Some of you probably think, well, I'm married to Al Bundy. Remember that, right? Think about Tool Time, Tim Allen, remember that? Remember that? He was just a bumbling idiot. Homer Simpson. You remember Homer Simpson off the Simpsons, right? You think about Raymond with Raymond's dad, how he acted, right? Everything was just a bumbling, idiotic type people, and they made in front of men, and we pushed them down, and we set them over in the corner. But let me tell you, that's not by accident. That's a ploy of the devil to use men to devalue them in people's lives. But let me tell you, men are desperately needed in families today. They're desperately needed in churches today. They're desperately needed in communities today. As a matter of fact, 75% of American children living without fathers usually end up in jail or long-term prison sentences. Think about that. 75% of those who go through that. And listen, if you think about it, most people who don't have an active father or male in their life that's guiding and influencing them is more likely for suicide, more likely for emotional issues, more likely to drop out of school, and more likely to have behavioral problems, more likely to be a victim of abuse or neglect. And you think about it, you think about how important it is to have a father, to have someone in your life, not only that, but a godly father. And for us, that's the challenge. Look at our lives, even if we're not fathers. How is my life stacking up with God? Like, will I be one that God can count on to use me to influence people in my life? No matter who it may be. You may not have kids, but you may have someone in your neighborhood or someone that you know at school or someone around you. How is your life influencing people? Well, Joshua's telling us how to be a godly man. Joshua's telling us how to be a godly influence. This is what you need in your life that will help you be successful at impacting people for God. And that's what I want for my life. That's why when I look at my life, I always try to evaluate what is it in my life that I'm leaving for my kids. You know, what am I putting in their lives? What am I putting in their hearts? What am I putting in the people around me? Because that's what really matters in life. That's what's really going to matter when we're gone or what we leave behind. And you see, many years ago, Tucker was messing around with me, and this is back when he still thought I was cool. And now he's too cool for school, right? He likes when I say that. You know how old that saying is? That's about as old as I am, right? He's too cool for school. Of course, he's rolling his eyes back there. But anyways, Tanner still thinks I'm a hero, right, Tanner? I'm still Tanner's hero, right? So, and I got Courtney cool, and I'm really her hero, right? So I still have two out of the three. But several years ago, Tucker was messing around, and so he came in, and it was shortly after we had, I think it was a couple years old, and he wanted to sleep in our bed. He was scared to sleep in his bed, right? So he wanted to come and jump in our bed. So as he goes, he gets his pajamas and his chocolate milk. Of course, he always had to have chocolate milk, right? So he jumps in the bed, he looks over, and says, Dad, man, you're the man, right? I mean, you are the man. You know, you're the man, Dad. And you know, I've got to be thinking, like, what is it in my life that I could be the man for God to look at me and say, you know what? You're the man. Like, you are being the godly man. Like Joshua. You know, Joshua was a godly man. God looked upon him and said, Joshua, you're the man. Like, you did what I told you to do. Your life, you served God, you served me, and now I'm with you. I'm glad you are the man. Well, Joshua shows us that. In verse 14, we didn't read 14, we read 15, but I want to read 14 and 15. And he's going to tell you how to be a godly man, for God to say, you're a godly man. Look what it says in verse 14. It says, now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers would serve on the other side of the river, or the god of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Man, you think about it, what a testimony, right? I mean, here was Joshua pouring out his heart and showing himself and showing him being a leader, showing him that he was the man, that he wanted you to see what was in his life. He gives us powerful, powerful admonition. He says, listen, first principle to be a God's man is that you must fear the Lord. Joshua begins with that, saying, listen, above all else, therefore, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Now, what a strange phrase for Joshua to begin with, right? Maybe we don't hear much about fear the Lord anymore, right? But really, the word fear is not like a scared fear, or like you have a fear like you're like something's going to happen and you shake and shudder because you are in paralyzing fear that something's going to happen, like a spider is going to jump on you or a clown's going to run out of the woods or something like that, right? I mean, like not that kind of scared, right? But no, a healthy fear. A fear that means you revere God in your life. A fear that God is something with value in your life. That when He speaks, or when He moves, or when He says something to you in your life, that it has value. Like a fear that you have a respect for Him. And you know, I just think about when I was growing up, I was always with my dad, and I always knew my dad, but I always had a reverential fear for Him, that if I crossed the line, I knew he could bop me upside the head at any moment, right? And you know, like you, as when you grow up, especially teenagers, you're getting to the point where you start looking at your dad, you think, I might take him, right? You know what I mean? Like, you know, I'm getting bigger, I'm getting stronger. But, you know, as a dad, you always got to keep that little bit of fear in there, right? And as long as you have that fear in him, you know you can always get take advantage of it and take him, right? You always know you can do that. As long as you keep that little bit of fear in there, right? That fear that knows if they go over the line, you can still put them in their place, right? Well, see, that's what Joshua's talking about here with this fear, this reverent fear that, yes, God is our friend. Yes, God loves us. Yes, God cares for us. Yes, we can talk to God. Yes, we have a relationship with God. But there is a point to where we have this reverent fear for God, that He is God. And that He is holy, and He is powerful, He is righteous, and yes, He loves us, and He cares for us, but our kids and our families and people around us can see that we have a reverence for Him. We have a fear of Him. When we talk about God, it's not just like talking about a friend or talking about a ball game, but yet we talk about God with an awe and a fear that God means something in our life. That God has this fear in our lives, and that it moves us to do things and do things for God and be a certain type of way for God. The Bible says that Abraham feared God. The Bible says Moses feared God. The Bible says Noah feared God. The Bible says Nehemiah feared God. The Bible says Cornelius feared God. And you see, we got to have this in our life. We want to be a man of God. We must really have this deep respect and awe and reverence for God. It must be a heavy weight in our lives. We shouldn't treat God like He's some other individual, or that we can take His name in vain, or that we can talk about God like He's nothing. No, when we talk about God, it should mean something. And our kids should see that. Like, one thing about Dad is he's serious when it comes to God. One thing about our dad is like when he talks about God and God is real, he has a fear or a reverence about God. And listen, we've lost that in our culture, you know, because we've watered down God. We've watered down God and we brought Him down to our level. We talk about God like He's a friend or a buddy. But yes, we must really understand that when we talk about God, He is holy, He's powerful, He's a mighty God. And we must have fear and reverence for Him. That's what our kids need to see. And when we see that, we have this fear in our life. It's evident that we don't do things because we fear God. There are some things we say or some things we don't say because we fear God. There are some places we don't go because we fear God. There are some things in our life we don't act like that because we fear God, because God is a heavyweight in our life, because God matters and God means something to us. When we make decisions, we consult with God. When we talk to our families or have things in our life, it's because we consider God and His will and His opinion in our life. And we must exhibit that. We must see that we show that to those who are around us, because that's what kids need to see. That's what your family needs to see. In our society, we don't like that, because we don't like accountability. And we don't like authority. But let me tell you, as a man, if you're not under the authority of God, you will never have anyone under the authority of you. If you want your kids to be in submission to you and how you raise them, you must be in submission to God and His will for your life. It's that simple. That we must have a reverential fear with God, which leads to your kids having a reverential fear for you, which leads to them having a fear and reverence for teachers and police officers and society and people around us. And when we take that out, guess what? We have no fear or respect for anyone. And you see, it all begins for us seeing how we have a respect for God, a reverence for Him. And Joshua says, if you want to be the man, you got to have a fear for God. You got to have people know that above all else and anything else in your life, God means more than anything else in your life. You have more reverence for Him than you do anything else. Second thing he says, not only reverence for God, but to serve the Lord. Look what he says in verse 14. He says, fear the Lord, serve Him. Fear the Lord, serve Him. And again, he challenges again later on, serve the Lord. So we fear and we serve. Listen, what good is it to fear God if you never serve Him, right? That's automatic. Like, when you fear God, you serve Him or you do what He says. It means to love Him or to put your heart in Him, obey Him for what He wants you to do, right? That you're willing to lay down your life, your needs, your desire to serve God. And that's what a man of God does. He willingly surrenders his heart, his life, to follow after God and His desires for his life. Listen, so many of us men want God's blessings for our lives. We want God's blessings for our kids, and we want God's blessings for our families, our homes, but God's blessings only comes when we bow down and serve Him. Like, we can't expect God's blessings and not expect to serve Him. And that's what Joshua's saying here. Listen, if you choose to serve the world, you get what the world offers. If you choose to serve God, you will get what God offers. If you want your kids to know God and to serve the Lord and be the way that you want them to be, then you must bow down and you must do it yourself. You must serve them yourself. And it's not what you want for your life. It's what God wants for your life. That you do what He wants, not what you want. We serve Him. Listen, the Bible says, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Listen, it's so simple. Because Joshua says here, you fear God, then you serve Him. And let me tell you, when you talk about fear, you're talking about love. And you know, you can't love someone and not labor for someone. You can't love someone and not labor for them. It's automatic. Listen, when you love or you care or you fear or you have a respect for someone, you can't help but to do that. In the Bible, Isaiah, when he saw God for who he was, and it says he had saw the glory of God, immediately he shouts, must I go? Here I am. Send me. Remember that? Paul, on the road to Damascus. When he came into contact with Christ, he falls to the ground and cries, this is God, who are you and what do you want me to do? Because that's what happens. When we come into contact with God and we see for who He really is, that's the automatic reaction in our lives that we are willing to serve God and His people. Listen, our kids need to serve the Lord, and they need to see it first through their dad or godly men in their life serving God. If you want your kids to serve God, you must serve God yourself. You must. And Joshua's saying, listen, that's the key. Fear God. Listen to what He says. And then serve Him. Do something about it. They need to see you following after God at all costs. Reading your Bible. Praying. Serving people around you. Your neighbors. Your friends. Your families. Doing those things that God has put in your life. Your kids need to see that so they can do that as well. And so we fear God. We serve God. And he says, not only do it, but do it with sincerity and with truth. In verse 14, think about sincerity and in truth. Two important words here. Sincerity, that means wholeheartedly. You could also translate it faithfully. It means to serve God and love Him faithfully. Consistently. Listen, one thing that damages our testimonies more than anything else is when we're faithful one day and we're not faithful the next day, right? When we tell our kids they need to do this and we're going to start doing this and the next day we're doing something different, right? Or when we tell them they need to do this and they need to do that and they need to do this and yet for us, we're not faithfully doing it ourselves day after day. It's not consistent in our life. And listen, I know our culture's full of unfaithfulness, right? And think about how many things that people start and they never finish. Think about it. I mean, how many people buy a car and they never finish paying the payment on, right? I was watching a show the other day. You know I love my detective shows, my cop show, right? My favorite show lately has been Live PD. You guys ever seen Live PD? Have you ever been on Live PD? One of my favorite things, though, they go out there and they talk about people buy cars and they don't pay for their payments. They got to go back and get the car back from it, right? And he was talking about in this one little town how many people buy cars and they start paying the payments and they never finish the payments, right? And listen, they never finish because they're unfaithful. They don't pay their dues or pay their debts, right? And listen, in our society, people start stuff and they drop out. There's no faithfulness. They start a job and everything's great. By the second week, you're not going to work. You don't care about it. Next thing you know, you get fired, right? Just unfaithfulness. Everywhere you turn, there's unfaithfulness. But yet, with the Bible, Joshua is saying, if you want to be a man of God, you got to serve faithfully. You got to be consistent. That you must do it and consistently do these things in your life and see it happen faithfully in your life. As if you read your Bible, you need to do it faithfully. If you pray, you need to do it faithfully. If you serve, you need to do it faithfully. They don't need to see you serving one day and not the next day. No, we need to consistently do it. Wholeheartedly, sincerity, with faithfulness. Serve God in sincerity and in truth. The second word here is truth. It literally means without hypocrisy. It means to serve God faithfully and without being two-faced, right? Without being a hypocrite. And Joshua's saying, serve God without being a hypocrite. And being a hypocrite means saying that you're one thing when you're really doing another thing. Let me tell you, we can fool a lot of people, but you can't fool your kids. I learned this when I was young, right? Let me tell you, you tell your kids something, they hear you say something, eventually it's going to come back out, right? I'll never forget it. I mean, when my kids are younger, I would say something and do something, and about 2 days later, they would repeat what I say in front of the people that I said it about. I mean, whoa. Where did you get that from? Well, Dad, you said that. Whoa, wait a minute, right? Like, that's just crazy. Like, you can say it, but they watch you, and they listen to everything you say, and you can't fool them. You can't play that game, and because they know when you're being a hypocrite. They know when you really are not sincere. Listen, when we see our kids and we're around our kids, we need to be sincere with them. We don't need to put on a fake facade, or we don't need to be playing games. And listen, we don't need to be a hypocrite around them. Listen, when they see you at home, that should be the same person they see at church. When they see you at church, that should be the same people they see you when you're on your job. When you're on your job, that's the same person they should see on Friday night or Sunday morning. Wherever you are, they should see that same person consistently and faithfully through your life. They shouldn't see you act one way with some friend and another way with other friends. No, they should see you consistently and faithfully throughout your whole life, striving to serve God and to fear Him and to love Him. That's what Joshua's saying. Listen, if you want to be a man of God, you must fear God faithfully, sincerely, and without hypocrisy. That there shouldn't be these double standards in our life. Listen, we shouldn't expect our kids to do anything that we're not willing to do ourselves. And listen, as a man of God, it's tough. I know it's tough. This is hard for me. Many times, I honestly am embarrassed because, my kids learn and memorize Scripture more than I do sometimes. You know, they may read their Bible, or they may have things with people that talk about people and do things for people and have a pure heart more than I do. But let me tell you, more than anything else, we should strive to be like that no matter who we are or where we're at. We should be the same way. And that's what Joshua is saying. That's what they need to see. They need to see Dad faithfully and wholeheartedly and trying and striving to serve God and to be a person of God no matter what happens or where he's at or where he goes. Listen, Joshua says, serve God with fear. Serve God with sincerity. Serve God with truth no matter where you are. And he says, also, get rid of the idols in your life. Here's where the rubber meets the road. Look at verse 14. Put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Think about this. Joshua's telling him, I don't care the way that your dad did it. I don't care the way your father did it. I don't care who went before you did it. You're making a choice, and now you must put away those false gods in your life. There's no longer an excuse for you. You can't make an excuse and say I just have a bad temper because my dad had a bad temper. You know, I act this way because that's the way my dad raised me. That's just the way I'm always going to know. Joshua's saying, listen, you're making a choice. Get rid of those things in your life. You no longer have an excuse that you can stop that in your family. You don't have to hand that down anymore. You don't have to hand down those things, and those things that should not be in your life, you don't want to hand it down to your kids, and it's your choice. You put them away. He's saying, get rid of them. Take them and put them out of your life. Put them away from you. No longer bow down and worship those idols. You say, yeah, well, we don't really have idolatry anymore today. Yes, we do. Idolatry is anything that you put before God. Listen, it may be a career. You may have always put your career before your family. God says, put it out of your life. Put your family first. Put God first. You may have pleasure. You may say, you know what? I've always had pleasure. I always want to do things. But you know, he says, put it aside. Put God first in your life. Maybe sports. Maybe education. Maybe a status. No matter what it is, need to put God first in your life. More than anything else. Your kids need to see that you put God first in your life and you put him there where he belongs. Listen, I said this before. When you put God first in your life, everything else lines up. Everything else. Everything. When you don't put him first, nothing else lines up. It's like putting on a shirt. I did it this morning. When you start with the button in the wrong hole, when you get to the last button, guess what? You're either going to have two more holes left or you ain't going to have a hole to button in, right? And so what happens? You have to go back and unbutton the whole shirt and start with the right button, right? Listen, when you don't put God first, everything else in your life is going to misalign. Everything else. And when you get to the end of it, and you're left empty, and you're left dry, guess what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to go back and unbutton all those buttons and start over again and put God first. That's what Joshua was saying. Joshua was saying, you put him first, and everything else will line up the way it's supposed to. That's what you need. Your kids need to see. And listen, from an early age, they need to see you put God first so they could put God first in their life. And Joshua comes to him and says, listen, you want to be the man, but here's where the rubber meets the road. You must do it, and you must do it faithfully, truthfully, and be the spiritual leader of your home. He's saying, you lead the way. You do it. You do it yourself, and your kids will follow suit. Your family will do it. I love what he says. Listen, do what you may, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see that? He didn't say I, right? He said we. We will serve the Lord. Listen, Joshua says, I don't know what the nation's going to do. I don't know what the neighbor's going to do. I don't know what anyone else is going to do. But for me and this house, we are going to serve the Lord. Man, what a testimony. I mean, what a proclamation that Joshua's saying, listen, I can't choose for you and I can't choose for them, but for me, and what I have and what God has entrusted me to, I'm going to choose him and serve him faithfully. That's what we need. Listen, God did not establish the nation first. Think about it. Listen, I love America. I want God to be first in America. But guess what? God didn't establish America first. God didn't establish the church first. Listen, I love the church. The great purpose and meaning in people's lives. And we should be here coming together, worshiping God, doing those things. But he didn't establish the church first. God established the home first. He established the man. He established the man and the woman. He's placed the man to be the spiritual leader of the home. Listen, the man in equality is equal with the woman, but there's no question. 100% equal. But God laid the responsibility of the spiritual life upon men to teach the families and be the spiritual leaders of the home. And that's exactly what Joshua is saying. It's your responsibility. It's my responsibility to step up and say, I don't care what anyone else is going to do. We are going to serve the Lord. It's my home, my family, my life. It's my responsibility to do this. And listen, I know it's tough. Listen, I have a job. I work in construction. That's not the highest class of people, I can tell you, right? Listen, there's not a whole lot of preachers running around in construction, right? There's not a whole lot of people out there serving the Lord and doing the right thing. You have the same profession you're in. I'm sure in your life, in your world, there's not a whole lot of people on the job that's going to encourage you to be the godly leader of your home. Listen, I've been to the games, I've been to sport, I've been out in all sorts of different places. Listen, there's not a whole lot of people encouraging you to be the spiritual leader. I know that. But let me tell you, I'm confident. I know for sure. If you don't step up and be the spiritual leader of your home, then you're leaving your kids to choose their own leaders. Then you can't choose that for them. You can't take that chance. Listen, you must be the biggest influence in their life. You must strive to be your child's biggest spiritual influence. It's not for the church to do. It's not for the president to do. It's not for this nation to do. It's for you to do. It's your responsibility. It's my responsibility. And Joshua says you have a choice. Choose whom you will choose. Choose. It's choice. And I don't care what anyone else does or when anyone else does. Joshua does. Me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now think about your family. Think about your kids. This one hit me this week too. If my child ended up to be just like me right now, would I be pleased or displeased? Think about that. If your child ended up just like you are right now, would you be pleased or displeased? And listen, the Bible says you can start and you can put and you can be just like Joshua, make a proclamation. This day, I'm going to serve God. From this day forward, I'm going to serve Him faithfully and serve Him truthfully and serve Him in my life. And I don't care what the world does. I don't care what people do. I'm making a proclamation. We're choosing to serve the Lord. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's pray together.